The battle for sanctification toward others. The Lord of people who depend upon us as children of God. And that's why God has left us behind after salvation. For Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. He has gone back to heaven, seated at God's right hand, interceding for us daily. So how is he still in the world, you may ask? When you read verses like what Jesus revealed, as long as I'm in the world, it must cause us to think, how is he in the world? And then when you think of children of God that God has left behind, giving to us the word of God and teachers, prophets, apostles, evangelists, and pastors to help us to know God's word, sanctifying us, making us more and more like Christ, there must be a goal, there must be a reason toward others. And the way that Jesus Christ remained in the world is through us, each and every one of us, disciples of Christ. And the moment rapture takes place, what Jesus Christ said, he will take us all up, then he's no longer in the world. Salvation stops. But then the Bible tells us after rapture, he will send two witnesses, one of them Elijah, prior to the return of Christ. And then after they are killed, after 3.5 years, angels will be the witness through the trumpet judgments and the vow judgments, a different kind of witness. Last, final attempt, final opportunity for sinners to come to know Christ, those who have not received the mark of the beast. So our presence on this earth as children of God is not just without a purpose. It's not just a whim. Why would God put us in a very dangerous world when he could have easily brought us all to heaven, the safest place in the universe? No devil, no demons, no sin, no evil, no sinner. And you and I, as parents, would always put our children in the safest environment. Unless there is a very, very good reason, far more important than our own safety and comfort. He saved us and left us behind, and many of us desire to remain behind, right? That's why we try to be as healthy as possible. We see doctors when we are sick so that we can recover. To what end and to what purpose? Do you want to stay healthy and stay as long as possible on this earth before you return to heaven, which is a far, far better place, a far greater and beautiful place than you could ever, ever imagine? Why do you want to stay here? As a child of God, actually, we should all desire to go home and not stay here, unless in your own heart you have a very good reason to stay. And some of these good reasons, they are spiritual, all of them, actually. They're all spiritual in nature. For sinners, you know, they need a Savior. And God sent into your life many sinners. And they need you to be sanctified, to see Christ in you. Otherwise, when you share the gospel as a carnal person, you know the impact and the response. Why would I want to believe in Christ when your behavior and conduct is just like mine? The only difference is you do it in the name of a Christian. I don't do it in the name of a Christian. I'm just as carnal as you are. You are just as carnal as I am. You are constrained and motivated by money just as I am. You have the same ambition as I am to have the climb the corporate ladder. So what's the difference other than the name of Christian? Why would I want to accept your gospel? I'm good as I am because you are just like me. But the moment you are holy, and they look at your life, and then you share the gospel, they are basically looking at something that comes down from heaven. You know that, right? Because your behavior and your conduct is similar to Christ. Not exactly the same in perfection, obviously, but good enough where the image of Christ could be seen in your life. And then when you share the gospel under that kind of circumstances, that person will now have to make a choice. And you know, every time when the gospel is shared according to Scripture, it is Jesus Christ actually who is offering salvation to that person, even though you are the one standing there. That's why when you study the salvation of the Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus, Jesus Christ appeared to give him the gospel and to save him personally. And then you think very carefully, you take a step back, you realize that all of us are basically presented the gospel by Jesus Christ personally. The difference is, in the case of Paul, it was a vision. In our context, it's just another servant of Christ. But actually, Jesus Christ is standing there. Because the words are not the servant of Christ, it's Jesus' words. And so when I reject the gospel, I'm basically rejecting Christ, not that person. And this is something that you and I must consciously remember and not forget. How important you are to God, and therefore don't despise the battle for sanctification. A lot of people depend upon you to win this battle, so that when the gospel you share comes from the lips of a holy child of God. And the impact of that gospel, that the Spirit of God will take the gospel and bring conviction and conversion, because it comes from the lips of a sanctified child of God. You know how great a blessing that you can be to that sinner? You can help him get out of hell that he is not aware that he is heading toward. You know. And bring him to heaven. And these people could begin very well with your own children. Your own children. Isn't that the greatest burden and the most important prayer that you want to ask God for? The salvation of your children? Not to tell people, show people that you are a good parent. No, it's none of these things. It's purely because you really understand you do not want your children to end up in hell where there will be great pain and torment. You look at them, little ones, since you, by the mercies of God, brought them into this world, you held them in your arms. How can you ever, ever even contemplate and think that it is okay for you to see them cast into hell and experience great pain and torment without end, and after that to be cast into the lake of fire? Personally, I think as a parent, as a father, we should beg God, God, please don't, oh Lord, allow my son, my daughter to end up in hell, please. I'm prepared to do whatever it takes to be a holy witness. Please be merciful to save my son and my daughter. They depend upon you. The ones you despise, the sanctification within, right? This word, he therefore that despises what? There is no object, right? You have the subject, you have the he therefore, that is the subject of the verb despises. But where is the object? The object is what has been mentioned earlier, this first seven verses, the sanctification within. You despises not man, but God. When you do not want to be holy, calling yourself a Christian, please know that you are despising these people. You're despising God. How? How am I despising God? If I do not want to be holy, at the same time calling myself Christian. God sent his only begotten Son to endure so much pain. And as God from heaven watched what we did to his son, spat on him, punched him, covered his head and punched him and asked him to guess. Tell us, you're a prophet, right? Tell us who punched you. And they mocked him by weaving a crown of thorns and forced it down his head. And those thorns are an inch and a half long. Pierced his whole face, covered in blood, front and back. And Christ just simply stood there and uttered not a sound. And the Father in heaven lifted not a single finger to help his son. Because that's the only way to save us. And then to nail him onto the cross and die the most horrible and painful, suffocating death. And the Father just watched from heaven with all the power of God Almighty at his disposal. He just simply watched. And then we call ourselves Christians, bear the name of Christ, and then we do not want to be sanctified, which means we sullied the name of Christ. When we are in sin, and then we hold on to the name of Christ and refuse to repent, the name of Christ is dragged down the mud by our failure to repent. And that's why we are despising God. Because the moment the name of Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven that can save a soul, is now sullied by us, tarnished by us, dragged down the mud by us, covered in carnality by us. The only way to remove the cover of carnality is repentance and bring it back to sanctification. We are basically despising God's work. We are despising what God has sacrificed. We are despising God's watching from heaven and let his Son endure all the shame and the pain. And then we dirty the Son's name. That's why it is serious. That's how important your sanctification is to the people around you. To brothers and sisters in Christ, the more mature you are, they look up to you. They want to see how you have conquered and overcome all the many challenges that they are now facing. Because you were their age once upon a time. Husband and wife with young children. Now they are turned to be husband and wife with young children, and now your children are teenagers. They want to see and want you to share. How did you do it? How did you overcome this journey of young parenthood to where you are now? Your children are teenagers and your children love the Lord and they are faithful in service. Please, can you share with me how you did it? I want to imitate. I want to learn. Because I want my children to become like your children in spirituality. Loving the Lord on their own. Don't have to coax them and urge them and force them to come for fellowship. They come on their own because they want to. It's a conviction. Please share with me how you did it. And then you have the other more mature age group where the children are now married, where your children are teenagers, and so you ask the other parents. That's why we cannot despise what God tells us to do to be sanctified within, because you have already been made sanctified by God, and make sure that you win the battle within. Who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit to help us. In other words, it's a battle that you cannot lose unless you deliberately choose to lose. Isn't that true? The third person of the Godhead, equal in power, glory, and essence as God the Son and God the Father, dwells within us, aiding us, helping us, feeling us, illuminating us, guiding us, so that you do not have to walk ever alone in this journey of sanctification. You don't have to fight alone in this battle of sanctification. The Holy Spirit is helping you with Jesus praying for you and God the Father making sure that every temptation that you face and endure, he knows the measure of your faith and he will never allow any one of his children to be tempted above that which they are able to bear. How can we lose? We can't lose. The question is, do you want to battle for sanctification in your life, to be holy within and then without and be a blessing to many? It's your choice. It's your family, it's your friends, it's your loved ones, it's your ministry, it's God's family that you are part of. Each and everyone depend upon you to be sanctified. All of us, we are not here by chance nor by accident. God brought us together. God brought your life and my life to intersect for a purpose, to mutually provoke one another and to love and to good works. That's why do not despise the battle for sanctification within. For to do so is not to despise us by bearing a bad testimony and stumble us, but to despise God. And what about the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us as well, to succeed? That you don't have to understand the Bible using your IQ. All you need to pray, and for the Holy Spirit to illumine your heart and your mind to understand, and He will be more than glad to help you. Truly. And if you want to teach or preach or conduct a Bible study, pray that He will fill you with God's Holy Spirit, and He will give you all the words you need. All the help you need in any degree, at any level, the Holy Spirit is willing. And He dwells in us. He doesn't leave us. He makes us spiritual, helping us to understand spiritual truth and spiritual things. In other words, God has equipped us with everything that we need to win this battle for sanctification within, so that your life and my life have no excuse not to be a holy witness without, to the people around us. Unless we are not born again, unless we deliberately choose to be wayward and choose to hold on to sin and carnality and refuse to repent. And a child of God must never, ever, ever toy with that idea, must never do that. That's how important your life is to God and to the people in your life. The moment you call yourself a Christian, fathers, sons, the people around you, they need to see Christ in you now. And that's why the battle within is very important, and this battle will continue until the Lord calls you home or when He returns. Because the battle for sanctification without continues as well. If my children today are stumbled because I have committed adultery, for argument's sake, you think they will be stumbled? My precious children, I betrayed their mother. And now my wife is brokenhearted even after I repent. What do you think it will do to my children, their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? They don't see me so much as a pastor, I think. They more or less see me as their father rather than as a pastor. That is the struggle of pastors' children. In a way, they don't have a pastor, they only have a father. What do you think will happen to their faith and their trust in the Lord? I dare not imagine. I shudder. I'm scared. Really. Very, very nervous and frightened. Likewise, your family. Likewise, the people in the ministry. You just do not know how many people depend upon you and look up to you. You realize that? And children, please don't think that, well, we are children, it should be okay. We don't have anyone to think about, to care for. You sure? One of the things that we must remind our children, you know your parents love you very much. Do not behave in a manner in the future by committing a very, very terrible sin, like marrying someone who is not a believer, and force your mom and dad to choose between Christ and you. That is a very, very terrible, terrible thing for the son or the daughter to do, isn't it? To marry someone who is an unbeliever, knowing that it is unbiblical, and now you are putting your own parents into a position where they have to choose Christ or you. Or would you want to do that to your mom and dad, whom you say you love too, right? And you force them to make that painful choice. And if they were to choose Christ, you know their heart is broken. If they were to choose you, their heart is even broken more and disobey Christ. So why do you want to put them in such an awful position if you really love them? That's why, as a Christian, battle for sanctification without and within applies just as much as to all fathers. The need to battle is real. Verses 9 to 12. Don't refuse to battle. God equip us for battle with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, because there is a great need. Verse 9, to love one another. Verse 10 to 12, to love others. And the others there would be Christians outside of the church in Thessalonica, in the rest of Macedonia, and people in the world. Battle for their faith and for their soul, basically. Verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. In other words, you already know it. I've already taught you before. For ye yourself are taught of God to love one another. Loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ is something spiritual and supernatural, not natural. It's not natural for me to love you. It's natural for me to love my children because they are my flesh and blood. I've known them since their birth, and that's natural. That's the Bible called the natural affection that will be lost in the last days, where parents will not know how to love their children. That's why the phrase natural affection will be lost. And so we see this today. Right? Because of the many divorces, parents don't know how to love children. Children in turn do not know how to love parents because you have mom and dad who are not their flesh and blood because of the divorce and the remarriage and so on. It's great confusion. The natural love, natural affection is gone. But to love one another, like you and me, that's not natural. That's supernatural, that's spiritual. Because I did not know you until you joined the church. I did not do anything for you, neither did you do anything for me. Why should I love you at all? Why should I care for you? Why should I have any affection for you? Not even in the slightest, actually. And yet, something mysterious happens, isn't it? The moment you come and you become part of the church and you are here, there is this natural affection that wells up from within me that I am prepared to die for you. I'm prepared to sacrifice whatever it is to ensure that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I sacrifice the things that I like to do, I don't do in order for me to spend time in the ministry, to devote time, to study, to serve all of you. Strangers, nothing in common. You have your own house, I have my own house. Nothing in common, actually, nothing. And yet, I'm prepared to give up my life, my time, my energy, my everything for you. Because you are God's family, and I'm part of God's family. That's why it is agape love. Brotherly love, conditional, because we are brothers. We are in the same family. But then the love that we express is agape. Unconditional, sacrificial. You realize that when you take a step back, you spend so many hours seated in committees and plan programs, like this RMG ministry that just started a few years ago. Why was there a burden that God has planted in the hearts of the deacons to start this important ministry? Because they look around and they see there is a great need. And many families depend upon this. I'm sure they have seen families similar to ours who have strayed away and left the church. And they realize that the key person in every family's spiritual well-being is the man, the head of the house. And therefore, this burden gets stronger and heavier, until it has to begin. And this ministry was mentioned to me by Deacon Adrian Poe. I told him, starting is easy. sustaining is the challenge. Are you prepared? I mean, anybody can start, right? Just like someone, your Bible study, you're going to open your home. You sure you want to open your home? Because this Bible study is supposed to continue on for decades until the Lord returns. And if you say you're going to open your home once a month, please understand that this is once a month for 10, 20, 30 years as the Lord tarries. You sure you want to volunteer to open your home? It's not just open your home for 1 month and then that's it, close shop. You sure? Sometimes you don't even realize that. And once a month, it's a big sacrifice. Strangers will come to your house, they make a mess. After everybody say bye, 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 you go to clean up. Month after month, one day, you do all these things. For whom? Strangers. They come into your house, they have Christian fellowship, they study God's word. You know them? Anybody can come. Anybody can come and they can mess up your home. Why do people do all these things? Love one another. Family. That's how important your battle for sanctification within, you can help brothers and sisters in Christ. And those who are carnal, they stay away. They don't much care. We know that. But we do not judge or condemn them. We continue to patiently help them. Hopefully, they will see and understand the importance of their own battle for sanctification within so that they can also be a blessing to others. Because there is a need in the spiritual realm. You have enemies outside, roaring lions seeking how to devour us. And within the church, don't turn it into a battleground. Let it be a happy ground where Jesus Christ is truly the head and the word of God is taught and obeyed and the people are sanctified, holy in Christ. So that all who come, brothers and sisters in Christ, they will find in this place a place of joy, a place that they love to worship and serve and grow together in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, abounding more and more within so that they can be a blessing without. Do you not want this kind of church? Do you not want this kind of ministry? That is what God had given to us and desire all of us to have. Out there is definitely a battleground. You know that. But within, protect it. Don't let it become a battleground. It's not supposed to be. But when all of us are sanctified within, naturally, you will be a blessing. And you will learn to love one another without complaining, without any reciprocal desire for acknowledgement or recognition. You just do it because it is the right thing to do. That's what agape love is, loving one another. Sacrificially, where you only want to promote Christ, as long as you become a better Christian, a more mature believer, I'm happy to sacrifice. You don't need to say thank you. You don't even have to remember my name. It's okay. Just remember my Savior. Isn't that what sanctification within will bring forth without? That you only want to promote Christ. You only want all who come, even your enemies, hoping that they may be converted and become believers themselves. Right? Isn't that what Christ came for us to do for sinners? And that's why Christ has left us behind, to make us holy for that purpose, to point sinners to the Savior and to help brothers and sisters in Christ to become better believers. And when the Christians in Thessalonica learn to love one another, you look at the impact. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, that province. Of course, today it's called Greece. Part of Greece, all of it, Macedonia. That's where Thessalonica was located, as a city in Macedonia. So their love spread. Not just within the church in Thessalonica. Other people heard about it. Other people are encouraged by it. If it can happen in the church in Thessalonica, why can't it also happen in my church in this city? Right? Because it's possible for them. It's also possible for others. All we need is to follow in the same footsteps. Battle for sanctification within, and then you will have the sanctification without. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. So don't stop. Don't ever stop. Don't ever say, well, we have arrived. We must never, ever be complacent. We must keep on defending and protecting and become more and more and more and more holy, because we will never, never, ever arrive at perfection on this earth, in this earthen vessel. It will only stop when we all arrived in heaven in glory. Then the battle stops. The battle continues because it's fragile. You know that. The peace, the tranquility that we enjoy, it's fragile. All you need is just one person, two persons, or two families, and they can create chaos, split. Because these families, when they are at odds, these two persons, when they are at odds and they do not reconcile, they all have their own respective friends. And they're going to share with their respective friends the terrible things of the other party, vice versa. And before you know it, you have schism. It started with two individuals who refuse to forgive one another. Families are impacted, and schism begins, and it will impact the whole church. How to worship in peace every Lord's Day when you have two clusters of people whom everyone knows is at odds, and nobody wants to reconcile, and there is nothing anyone can do, nothing any leader can do other than discipline both groups, and then probably both groups will leave. You see the nightmare? And it all started with two persons who refused to reconcile. It's fragile. But the more you focus on how it can increase more and more, don't let it be status quo. Status quo is a plateau. And a plateau means it can become very easily destroyed. You have to keep on going upward and make it stronger and better, stronger and better, stronger and better, so that it will never be given the opportunity to break away, break apart. Protect it. Because the blessings that you can do can be taken away by sin. Easily. You know, sometimes when you have a relationship with people for 20 plus years, serving together, praying together, laughing together, struggling together, crying together over issues, you thought you know that person, you thought you know that family. Until something unhappy happened. And there are many relationships that I have experienced in this church that I will never forget. But they cease because these people have left the church upset because of what I need to do as a pastor. I thought that all these 20 over years of Bible study together, togetherness, was real. It would be strong enough to have a bond whereby I need to do what is right and yet painful as a pastor. But apparently not. It appears as if those 20 plus years never existed because of the one moment of an email that was sent to admonish became the last straw, as it were, that broke the camel's back. It's as if our 20 over years of so-called relationship and apparent friendship is measured by only that one single incident. that all those 20 plus years of good times never existed. Because of the animosity that came out of it. That's why sometimes I have to remind myself, it's very hard to have a friend from the congregation, because they are never truly 100% friend, because the pastor-member relationship doesn't go away. It's always there. And even as friend and friend, and as a pastor, if I see anything that is amiss, I have to let you know. And if I were to let you know, in the past, painful experiences, it did not go too well. But I cannot let that stop me from letting you know. I have to let you know. But if I let you know, will you see it as a friend, or will you receive it as a friend, or as a pastor? The Bible made it clear. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That's why the Apostle Paul encouraged, let it abound, increase, in other words, more and more. Just as you have to abound more and more. Verse 1, remember, walk to please God, abound more and more, same idea. Increase more and more in your expression of your love for one another, so that it will not easily break. Know that we need to mutually protect each other's spiritual well-being. When you stumble and fall, I need to tell you. When I stumble and fall, I appreciate you need to tell me, and I need to accept it graciously as from a brother who cares enough, who loves me enough to take the risk of me getting angry with him to tell me the truth. We need to do this for one another, so that we will not stray far away from the path of holiness, which is a very narrow road. It's so easy to turn to the right or to the left. That's why we need to make sure that it abounds more and more, this love for one another, to keep it strong. So don't stay away. Don't stop sharing your life because you're afraid of hurt and pain. It will come. But when we learn to forgive and learn to be forgiven, that's how our relationship becomes stronger and stronger. Isn't that how you relate to your wife? You never had any quarrel or misunderstanding? I'm sure we all have plenty, and yet you're still happily married, and it makes your commitment stronger and even more real when you reflect back. It is more than just some warm-hearted feeling, isn't it? It is now rooted in a commitment whereby you overcame all the many misunderstandings and all the pain and hurt and many differences, and you are still very much deeply in love and devoted to each other. We can do the same with one another, even though we have not made any marriage vow till death do us part. But it should be a commitment to help one another abound more and more in our spiritual well-being. And then you study to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own hands, in other words, to be self-sufficient, to be not a burden. Right? Basically, study to be quiet. Know when to speak, when not to speak, and how to speak when it is time to speak. And to do your own business, in other words, don't become a financial burden to anyone. Learn to stand on your own 2 feet, and when you do your own business, you can help others through the business. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you, so that out there in the world, your testimony is also needed. That we may walk honestly toward them that are without. You see the need to battle? Within and without. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and the world out there. If we just cloister ourselves up among Christians, how will sinners come to know Christ? But when they see your diligence, when they see how you conduct yourself as a Christian employee or an employer, the way that you look after them with care, with compassion, with understanding, with patience and long-suffering, they've never seen this kind of employer before, just as Potiphar had never seen this kind of slave in Joseph. Never seen. Why do you think Potiphar, out of the blue, entrusted all his wealth and his possessions and his belongings and all the slaves to his care? And the Bible describes it in such a wonderful manner, where Potiphar's only concern about his food, or I mean his possession, is the food on the table. Everything else, he entrusted to Joseph completely. Didn't even have to ask him to show him the books. He knows that Joseph will never steal from him. He knows Joseph will be honest, he'll be diligent. Everything will be tip-top shape. Where do you find that kind of slave? I've never seen that kind of slave. And that's why when his own wife charged Joseph for what? Attacking her. The Bible simply said that he was angry. Angry with whom? You think with Joseph? I don't believe it was with Joseph, because of his action that follows. Some slave attacked my wife. You think he would just simply throw him into prison? And you note what prison did he throw him into. There are two types of prison in Egypt. The prison for criminals and the prison that belongs to the Pharaoh. The prison of Pharaoh are those who did not serve the Pharaoh properly, like the baker and the butler. They did not commit any crime. They just did not make the Pharaoh happy. That's it. That's why they are two separate. So if what Joseph did against the wife was true, according to Potiphar, he would not have thrown him into the prisoner of the king. He would have thrown the prisoner of the criminals. He would probably kill him, actually. You attack my wife, and he can kill the slave, and he would not be charged with murder. He's a master. That's what a slave is, just nothing. But he did not. That's why the anger was not toward Joseph, but the wife. Because of her, he has to save face, because it's public. And now he has lost the man that he has entrusted all his possessions to look after because of the foolishness of his wife. Now he has to look for another slave like Joseph. Where is he going to find one? No. Now he has to take care of all his possessions, guard all the slaves all on his own now. So his life of ease with Joseph as his right-hand man was over. You and I are all supposed to be like Joseph. Unique, special, because you really are. And the world must see you and me as basically an alien. Unique in our ethics and our morality, because they are all from heaven. It's God's, right? It's biblical. Your ethics and morality based upon scripture, because you've been studying the word of God. You know how to conduct yourself. You will never tell lies. You will never undercut. You will never do anything that will defraud anyone. You are beyond reproach. Hardworking and diligent, even without the boss staring over your shoulder, and you are never motivated by mammon or by the praises of man, but simply because of your love for your Savior. You work hard and you are diligent. You know the kind of impact to the world, just as you see how Joseph impacted Potiphar's life. That is a description of us when you study that passage of Joseph and Potiphar. Joseph should be a mirror image of every employee, Christian employee today. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. That's what Joseph did. And that's what all of us must do. That ye may have lack of nothing. God will provide for your physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental. And you will stand and be stable and be a great blessing to everyone that comes into contact with you. That is the will of God for every believer. The battle for sanctification continues, and it will end soon when the Lord returns. But as long as He has not returned, the battle within will help us win the battle without. And the blessings that flow out of your life through you by the goodness, the grace, and the mercies of God are all spiritual, eternal, and tremendous. For sinners, they become children of God like yourself. For brothers and sisters in Christ, they are strengthened in the inner man because they have you as a godly example. Begin at home, please. Always begin at home. And then don't stop there. Let that inner circle grow toward the outer circle. Share your life and make it count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the reason why you and I have been saved and left behind by our Savior. The battle for sanctification is ours today. For tomorrow, we stand before the Lord. Let Him say to all of us, "Well done. Welcome home, my good and faithful servant." Let us pray. Almighty God, our most gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the year 2023 that has passed and for the families and loved ones that You have given to us and for watching over us in our going out and our coming in. For we may have failed Thee many times because we failed to sanctify ourselves within. Forgive us. And with the new year ahead, O Lord, and with this passage from Scripture teaching us the importance to fight for holiness within, that we may truly be a holy testimony without. May this truth carry our lives throughout the year 2024 and beyond, even until we meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Help us, O Lord, for we are weak. Help us, O Lord, truly to be a blessing to others, both without and within the church, for brothers and sisters. May we provoke them unto love and to good deeds this year by our service, by our attendance, by our sharing of our lives. And without, wherever You have placed us in our workplaces, may we be a holy witness to sinners, and may this year be a year of salvation for them. Use us, O Lord, for Thy glory, and make us a blessing to others by sanctifying us by Thy truth, for Thy word is truth. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.